Welcome to the Speak Like a Leader podcast with John Bates. Welcome to the show. With me today, I have someone that I know through one of my big heroes, a guy named Marshall Goldsmith, who, if you don't know Marshall Goldsmith, just do a quick internet search for Marshall Goldsmith. Go find him. Go follow him. The guy is fabulous. And the people that he attracts to himself are also fabulous. So my guest today has coached and trained over 40,000 professionals and is focused on the fact that leaders have much more power than they typically realize or using. And I want to come back to that. Dr. Sharon Melnick is a Marshall Goldsmith Top 100 coach, and her third book, In Your Power, React Less, Regain Control, Raise Others, has just come out. And she hosts the popular podcast, The Power Shift, and you can find her at inyourpowerbook.com. That's inyourpowerbook.com. So, Dr. Sharon, welcome.
Oh, I'm so excited to be with you, John.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to have you. And I, you know, let's go back to that opening line of leaders having much more power than they typically realize or are using. And I'm just going to go right for the jugular on this one. That is when things go wrong. I think a lot of times leaders who do not understand how much power they already actually have, try and overcompensate for that and do stuff because they're insecure and they don't get the power they have. That's tremendously destructive.
Yeah. And so what you're referring to there is that they're not making the distinction between being in power and being in your power, right?
Good.
And so,
great.
Right. So yeah. They're in power. Like they literally have positional power and they can make hiring and firing decisions. They can set the strategy, but they may not be in their power, meaning that they know how to stay good in them and confident and clear. That they can act in a way that they get the outcome that they want for themselves, but actually make it, you know, better for everyone. And, you know, we're going to start riffing and enumerating the powers that a leader has. And amongst them is that the leader creates the weather on the team. But the leader starts by creating the weather inside of themselves, right? And that's sort of, you know, that distinction between, you know, if you're in a position of power, but if you're not in your power, then you're going to be using the position or you're going to be acting in a way in order to try to, you know, regulate your own self-esteem or feel like you have control, right? So then this is where it all goes afoul and we have, you know, toxic bosses or, you know, leaders who, you know, don't see us. We don't feel, you know, heard and all that. So when that is the case, look, everybody is on a growth curve. So, you know what I mean? The leader might be where they are on their journey.
Yes.
However, when you're not in your power, it sets you up to act in ways where you act toward other people in a way, you involve other people in order to try to get that sense of security and feeling worthy and valuable in your own self. And so this is when, I mean, perhaps you'll put down other people in order to feel one up in yourself. Or you won't make the tough decision or have the important needed conversation because you are limited or you feel uncomfortable and you don't know how to manage, you know, your own discomfort. Or you might micromanage other people in an effort to try to manage the perception of your peers or of your higher-ups, right? And all of this in order to be, you know, try to look perfect and you're not being aware that you're grinding on your people or on your own time, right? So there's many, many examples. We could, you know, quantify the examples of this, but that's the idea actually is that you kind of give precedence to managing, trying to get into a good state in yourself rather than the real opportunity that you have as a leader, which is to leave a legacy, to lead people forward in what we're here for, and actually to appreciate that growing power in other people grows your own power. Yeah.
Good. I love that. It reminds me of something that I was taught that really made an enormous difference for me. Taught this years ago, someone pointed out to me that there is actually no such thing as arrogance. There are people who act arrogant, but there's no such thing as arrogance because arrogance is always and only another face for fear. And I was like, wow, okay. And so I really took that on. And, you know, so when I'm on my game and someone's acting arrogant, I don't meet that arrogance. I try and think more deeply about, okay, well, what is it I could do to put them at ease, to allay some of their fear, to make them, you know, help them manage that internal state that they're, you know, trying to get better with by getting stuff on everybody else around them, right?
Yeah, well, let's clone you. Let's have more people who are able to see have a deeper understanding and meet others with compassion. Because most of the time, so that's really a way of, being able to connect and to kind of help everyone transcend the situation, right? And yeah. This is a really good example of when you are in your power, you raise everyone around you. So this is a really good example. So because you are able to source your confidence from within or your feels, you know, and you have a good sense of your own value, then with a domino effect, you are able to bring that presence to other people so that you can see, you know, have more x-ray vision into what's going on with them. You can bring that sense of compassion, you know, immediately. You know how to calm yourself down. You can lend that sense of calm, you mean, to other people and help them to feel safe in your presence. And this is why it's so important that you, each of you listening, you know, kind of be in your power. Of course, it feels great for you. We could talk about this, but it's not only that, actually, is that it creates a ripple effect. And honestly, yeah. If we just take this meta for us to create the world that we want to live in,
yes,
this is where it starts.
Totally agree.
Being in your power.
You know, Sharon, I would love to know what you think of this, because one of the things that I find myself saying to the people that I coach, I do a lot of one-on-one executive coaching with these kinds of leaders that you train. And I find myself saying to them on a pretty regular basis, something like, okay, look, what if all those things that are so good about you, that people tell you are good about you, but that you're not really sure are truth, right? Like, you're not really sure that you're actually all that. What if you just knew down in your bones that you actually are all that, that you do have those skills, you do have that power, you show up that way, like that really awesome way? What if you just knew that in your bones? Now what would you be responsible for? Because I think sometimes it's a little bit of running away from what we actually have, right? Like, I don't want to be, who am I to be that wonderful and that great, right? Like, I have Marianne Williamson's quote right here, so I can just turn around and get it anytime, right? But we're not afraid of our darkness, we're afraid of our light. Well, what would you be responsible for if you knew you actually were all that?
Yeah. Well, what a beautiful, provocative question. And, you know, there's a colleague of mine, Ron Carucci, from the Marshall Goldsmith Top 100 Coaches community. And he did a 10-year study of executives who rise into positions of power. Mm-hmm. So he studied power and how it's used and all of that. And so he learned a lot about what makes, you know, people successful in terms of how they use their power. Lots to say about that. but here's the number one finding in terms of the number one abuse of power. Now, I'm sure we all go in our minds to some place based on our own experiences, what you think I'm going to say. But what they found is that the number one abuse of power was, drumroll, not using it.
Wow.
Not using the power that we already have, right? And now we're uncomfortable with this idea of power. People have their own definitions of this, you know, and a lot of us think that it's you know, our first association is its force, its manipulation, selfishness, you know, narcissism, all these kinds of things. We have very negative, and especially for women, we tend to start off feeling very uncomfortable with the idea of having power.
Right.
And, you know, so I'm here to redefine power, because power is really about, is a force for good. And, you know, it can be a force for good. And this is what we're really starting to see as women are coming into positions of, you know, number one positions, or, you know, heads of their functions or heads of their companies. The women that I'm working with is that they are using their power, right, to create the kind of, you know, imbue the culture with their values, to be inclusive, where people feel seen. And then, you know, the data is showing, I mean, all of the hard metrics, you know, profit and, you know, decision-making and all these kinds of things, you know, every metric is just, you know, exploding through the roof. So I think that we have a big opportunity to transcend the personal reactions that we have in the moment, and rather to see the opportunity that we have before us when we show up as a leader in our power.
Boom. I love that. And it's not just for women, it's for men. But let me go down. I want to pursue the woman thing, because I just got back from India, where I spoke at this big, huge ashram. And basically, I spoke to an entire city. It was 700,000 people. And it was a 3-minute talk, you know, so it was very quick. But the basic point that I made was, we need to protect and empower women, because anywhere on earth you measure, on any measure that matters to human beings, wherever women are doing better, everything is doing better. Everything, right? And that's what I just heard you say. When any leader, but particularly a woman leader, gets comfortable with power, sees it as a force for good, and then goes in and uses it, the data shows it works. Things get better. Is that what I just heard?
Yes, that's Boom. Definitely true across the board.
I love that. I love that. So,
And there's so many examples of it, and we just have to, you know, kind of reframe it, actually, because it's really, you know, so actually, if we could just start at the beginning here, is that the word power, it has a Latin root, posse, which means to be able. So it's really just about like an ability, you know what I mean? The ability to stay good in you, and then the ability to act in a way that makes things better for you and for everyone else. Like if we just think about it that way. And when you think about it that way, it's like, yes, I want that. You know, I'll have what she's having, you know?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Kind of thing. Or I'll have what he's having. You know, I mean, it's the same, pretty much all of us, I think I could say in one way or another, feel like things are not as they should be in my personal world, or, you know, in the world kind of
both,
at large.
Maybe, yeah, at times.
And, yeah. And so I think that we, you know, we wish that we would want to be able to, you know, have this ability.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So if power is just to be able, what is it that gets in people's way so much,
yeah,
Dr. Sharon?
Oh, so let's get into it. Well, you know, one of the things is that we don't realize even that we have power, right? And I think many of us have kind of just gone through our lives and we haven't necessarily been encouraged. I mean, you know, there's maybe more so now these days, but for many of us when we were growing up, you know, our parents weren't really like encouraging us, you know, necessarily. They wanted us to be happy, but they weren't like, you know, yes, exercise your sense of agency to speak back to me, or, you know, like,
right, yeah.
I don't think that was really like, you know, the message. And in companies, you know, it's a little like, you know, we have a way of doing things and, you know, we'd like you to fit into them. So even in school, it's like, you know, follow the rules. I mean, you know, this is just, you know, sort of part of how we are socialized. And even really, we're set up, we're biologically hardwired even through our own like stress systems, as we're set up to focus on what we can't control. Like, because that we're just scanning the environment all the time for like, what's going to be threatening to us, you know? And so we're literally
really
set up,
point.
You know, to be like, to focus on what we can't control. And so like the very first thing that before we even get into the things that are going to make change in your environment or team or the world is just to start by focusing on what you can control. Like just by starting to ask the question, like, where's my power? And to sort out in the situation, what are the aspects of the situation you can control? What are the aspects, I call this your 50%. What are the aspects of the situation you can't control? You know, kind of the other 50%. And most of us, we're biologically set up to have our attention pulled toward what we can't control. And then immediately it's like you are just leaking your power. You know, like how many of us feel like, you know, and then we're in that mental swirl and we're emotionally hijacked and we're like, talking to the other person in our mind, like, you shouldn't be acting that way. It shouldn't be like this, you know? And why don't you, you know, blaming you and, you know, why don't you, you know, X, Y, Z. And the things that we try usually just make the situation worse or at least perpetuate it. So the very first thing is we just got to get into like the right ballpark and we've got to be impeccable for our 50%. Like just, that's just like the foundation.
I love that. I mean, and just to be super explicit about it, living on the savannah conditioned us to focus on what we could not control, like the lion that's over there. Like we don't control the lion and the lion can eat us. So if we ignore it, we get eaten, but we can't control it, but we got to pay attention to it, right? Because it could have some massive impact on us. But now we're not on the savannah. We're in our office and we're still focusing on what we can't control. And getting all obsessed about it. So, I mean, it gives a whole new meaning to that. I guess it's the Irish serenity prayer, right? Help me control the things I can and deal with the things I can't and have the wisdom to know the difference, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that prayer. And it's really like, and ironically, actually, even someone sitting in an office or, you know, in their home office these days can feel like there's a lot of things that are out of their control. You know, whether you're a leader of your team and there's just, you know, you have a really key direct report who you just can't get to kind of cooperate or live up to your expectations or do things the way that you're asking them to. Or, you know, maybe you're a very talented woman who's going for a top job or, you know, in a C-suite and trying to get her management colleagues to go beyond scorecards and, you know what I mean, actually like create an inclusive culture. Or, you know, maybe you just have a narcissistic family member or somebody who's very selfish and is like very difficult, you know, to be around. I mean, it could be any of these things. So actually a lot of us can feel like there's things that are out of, you know, even the economy and all these kinds of things can feel that there's things that are out of control, even though, you know, we're not being chased by a lion. And what you were saying, the way that you, you know, helped us understand it so vividly is that if we're really living our lives just kind of reacting and trying to protect ourselves from the things that we can't control or just spinning, feeling like we're done to by them, then we're really just living out kind of this hardwired biological imperative, but we're never really overcoming that and kind of living with intention and becoming kind of who we can be and making the contribution that we're here to make. And so you really have to kind of make that shift and get above like just reacting to the things that you can't control and start being intentional about who you want to show up as and what's the outcome that you are, you know, want to make. And that's when you can start showing up on your own terms. And, you know, and as soon as you start showing up as on your own terms, then you, you know, when you're in your power, you change the power dynamic.
Right. And you react less, you regain control and you raise others. Yeah.
Yeah. Someone wrote a book about that, actually.
Yeah,
In Your Power.
It's pretty good. Yeah. So let's say that we totally buy into this. It's all really good. I genuinely think this all makes a lot of sense. What do people do about it? I don't want you to tell us the entire book here. I know, you know, we'll leave something to be discovered there. But like, where would be a starting point for someone who goes, okay, all right, I like this. Now what?
Yeah, sure. So the way that I think about it, there's kind of being in your power, and then there's using your power for the good of all. So you need to set a strong foundation to be in your power, right? So then when you act, you can act in a way that is effective. So we we just began, you know, like kind of the very first step of kind of being in your power. And there's many things that you can do. Like, for example, you know, when you react, it's a reactivation of a kind of a personal hook inside of you, right? So if you can kind of know what that is and be able to transcend, you know, your triggers and act with intention, like that's already, then you're keeping yourself, you're staying in your power and you're not getting kicked out of power. So there's many things that you could do to stay in your power. I think your question was starting to ask about how can we use our power?
Well, so right? First of all, I just really like what you said. I like the distinction of being in your power to create a strong foundation so that you can then use your power and use it well. And that's the number one abuse of power, is not using it, right? So, but I love that it starts with being in your power. And one of the greatest ways to do that is to look at the ways that those things are all similar and start to see, okay, here are some of my hooks, here are some of my things that reactivate me, and then stop reacting and start acting with those things. That gets you into your power so that you can then use it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's totally the case. Cause I think most of us, if we're not like aware of these ideas, you know, is we're just you know, kind of reacting or trying to fix the situation or make it different. And if we're in an out of our power state, then usually the things that we're trying to do to make it better are not going to be, you know, so effective. Or, you know, you sort of like demand an apology from the other person that like does not have a lot of leverage. Or, you know, you kind of, you know, set a boundary with the person in a way that they're like, you know what I mean? Like has no way of enforcing it. Or, you know, you ask for something, but you ask like, you know, this is what I want. You know, like I want to get promoted. Can I get promoted? But that's like not a very effective way of approaching it. Like you want to use a lot more strategy and help your manager understand what's in it for them or for the organization. Or, you know, if you're a leader and you're trying to create the weather on the team and you just sort of say, this is the way, you know what I mean? I'd like it, but you're not role modeling it. You know, so it's like all these examples of like, if you're not in your power, like, you know, and then you're just going to perpetuate the situation because it's going to be like, well, I said something or I tried and they're not, you know, and then it just like snowballs and becomes an even bigger situation, like where you're out of your power. You're even, you know, you're even more entrenched. So I think it's really important for anyone who feels kind of stuck or stressed or just in this, like, you know, it's like not working, you know, kind of situation, that the very first thing you need to do is to get back in your power. And then you will see that there's like a whole, you know, there's a whole, like, you know, in my book, In Your Power, it's the frame of it is based on 12 power portals, meaning that any situation you're in that you're stuck or you're not getting the kind of you know, result that you want or that you can imagine. It's like in any direction around you, 360 degrees, you know, it's like you could just enter that portal. You could read that chapter and there's like a whole new way of looking at it, a whole new set of scripts and actions and that it's going to be able to get you what you want and make it better for everyone. So that's the frame of the book, In Your Power. And, you know, it could be fun actually to give some examples of people who use their power.
Let's hear it. Yeah.
So, you know, this idea of, you know, what I've seen in many leaders is that they overlook the power that they already have rather than really owning the power that they have. So I'll give you an example. I coached a woman leader who was a managing partner in an engineering firm. And the firm was owned by two older gentlemen and founded by them. And she had been going to them for like almost 2 years during COVID saying, look, you know, people are starting to leave. We need to make the culture better here, make people feel, you know, more of a sense of belonging. And also she had brought in a number of more women. She really got their numbers of women engineers, you know, kind of equal. And she said, a lot of the highest revenue producers are the women engineers and they want to be paid more. So she had brought this to the owners and she had gotten the equivalent of, I mean, the answer was kind of a postponement, you know, not kind of a tepid response, but yeah. And she felt like it was kind of a pat on the head, like, yes, you know, to my child, like, don't bring these things to me. She took it personally. She, felt, like she wasn't enough, or she was, resentful that they weren't kind of hearing her, and she's starting to spin whether this was the right place to bring her value. And she started to second guess herself whether this was a really realistic vision. I mean, this is what happens, right?
Yeah.
And so when we first started working together, she felt like, well, she didn't really have a lot of power. Like that's how many of us start, right? But you have so much more power than you think you do. So, for example, she had so much relational power. She just started at the partner level, leading discussions about how they wanted the culture to be, and she empowered herself to start making some of those changes. And she also had the power of persuasion. So once she was really able to identify what the owners wanted, which was a good exit, right? Then she made relationships with the board members. She helped them to appreciate that recruitment would be impacted, that retention was going to be impacted, or how she could help improve it. And she actually, brought in the data to make the business case about more diverse culture and tied it to the cap tables, et cetera. So it was a whole strategic influencing campaign. You have to be impeccable for your 50%, right? You can't just kind of go to the owners and say, like, can you just make this change? It's like, so she really had to, do this whole strategic influencing campaign. So she had really set everyone up. Everyone was already she's kind of near the tipping point. And then she did the final power move. Which she went to the owners. They had already been having these kind of conversations. Everyone was near. And she said, look, she kind of shared her powerful truth. And she said, what I really want is to be an owner in a firm. And this is important. Compensation is important to the other women now that I've made a women's network here. And, I'm going to have that here, or I'm going to have this elsewhere. Which do you prefer?
Yeah.
So the ultimate power move, being in your power, she owned her value. And that's how we got to the result.
I mean, and what a great result. Like that's the other thing that I think is important here is that everybody was happy about that result. Like those guys wouldn't have given up 30% of their company to redistribute it if it wasn't worth doing. That was
Absolutely.
Worth doing, and mm-hmm. that company is going to do better because of it, and they'll be really happy they did that because that's how those things go, right? Now they're going to be much more successful, etc.
So you can use your power for the good of all.
I love that. And because I think you're right. I think that there's we see power being misused so often, right? It's kind of like in what I do, I'm trying to tell people make an emotional connection, those kinds of things when it comes to leadership and communication. People really shy away from telling stories, making an emotional connection, being vulnerable because they've seen other people do it badly and with nefarious intent so often, right? And I think it's similar with power. We see power being misused so often that I think good people shy away from it. But that's not the thing, right? Like that's the dark side. Use this for the light side and it becomes a fabulous contribution to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's how most of us think about it. And when we take that as our definition or our understanding, then we're perpetuating the quote unquote the old way. And
right.
I think many people are, not thriving under this old way. So it's just your opportunity to, start be the change in the world, right?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So, Sharon, we have about 10 minutes left because mm-hmm. I want to keep my promise of getting us out of here on time. What else should we talk about? What haven't I asked you about? What's something that you would like to share with our listeners? before
yeah.
we go.
Well, you know, it's Speak Like a Leader show. So I think it would be great to be really dig into communication of leaders, whether you're a speaker, you know, on a stage, whether you're a leader of a team or everyone can be a leader in their own environment.
I totally agree. Doesn't matter where you are in the hierarchy, you're a leader. The question is only, are you aware of that fact and are you leading people in the direction you mean to be leading them? Would you agree?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Good. So what do you notice in your world of power and being in your power around communication specifically?
Yeah, well, I think the communication that we use reflects the state of power that we feel, or how in our
Very
power
good.
that we are, right?
Yes.
And so there's many examples of this, but even I probably could tell if I talked to someone for 60 seconds, like where they are in terms of being in their power. Like it's just if they were just describing a situation that is happening in their lives, immediately I would be able to listen for does this person have the sense that this situation is happening to them or for them? Right?
Yes.
And
yes,
and that would
huge.
Be reflected everywhere in their language. You
everywhere.
Know what I mean? That so and so is doing this, and they might use language where they would talk about themselves in the second person. Like they would talk about you know what I mean, what they're feeling, but they would say like, you feel bad about the situation, like so they're distancing, from themselves.
Totally.
A lot of
yep.
people do that. This is something that like someone could monitor in themselves right away, or I could listen for language that they were really in their power, that they were seeing how this situation might be happening for them. They would be looking for the lessons, that they could learn. They would be seeing how this situation is preparing them for something bigger or better or that is on the way.
Right.
There's an energy that is associated with being in your power or where you are, in terms of being in your power. So I think that what you're feeling on the inside is definitely going to be reflected on how you think, your mindset, and also how you communicate on the outside.
I totally agree. You know, one final little thing that I just think I notice in kind of everything that you're saying is how important it is as a leader to be in your power, be right with yourself. And here's the thing that I attribute a lot of this to is mirror neurons, right? Like if I'm over here being insecure and needy and trying to get everybody to prove to me that I'm okay, that's going to create a whole different set of conditions over there with my team than if
and what they feel they can bring to you or not bring to you. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Versus me being in my power, having recognized and set aside my triggers and stuff and really get the power I have and then go use it for good, that creates a whole other set of teammates over there, even if it's the same people, right?
Yeah, it totally is true. And when I say the leader creates the weather on the team, this idea of being in your power, it's almost like an energy efficiency model, or it's like an energy model, because it's like, where is your energy and attention going to? And then what are you setting up your team members in terms of where their energy and attention is going to? Now, look, you can't control everything about your team members, but you can be impeccable for your 50% and really maximize, the environment that will help to inspire them and make them feel connected to you, and that's really the opportunity, and you can control that, and really
Boom.
You can control that as you go throughout the day. Like being in your power is a lifestyle, it's like in every situation you always have that opportunity to bring that and then to create that ripple effect going forward.
I love it. And listen, I notice our time, and I really appreciate you joining us. I think that's an excellent note to end on. I mean, that's perfect. And thank you very much for joining us. And thank those of you who are listening. Thank you for joining us. If you like the show, please tell some friends, give us a 5-star rating so other people can find it. And Sharon, I look forward to keeping in touch and hearing how all this goes. And thank you for pointing out that we all have more power than we realize. And, you know,
that's absolutely the case.
I just think that's a beautiful thing to remember.
I was
going to
say that for, yeah, it's totally, we all need to remember this. Thank you for, embodying this yourself. And for listeners who are ready to be in their power, head on over to www.inyourpowerbook.com. That's just where, once you purchase your book, if you give us your information there, I have some, bonuses where we can share with you some quick start workshop and resources. And also consider the book as a fantastic holiday gift for anyone in your life that you want to empower or see in their power. Because when you're in your power, you raise everyone around you. InYourPowerBook.com.
Awesome. Good. And we'll put all that in the show notes. And thank you for joining us, Sharon. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you next time on Speak Like a Leader. Show.
It's really been a delight, Matt. Thank
Likewise.
You so much.
It's a joy to talk to you. Thank you for joining the Speak Like a Leader podcast. Go be awesome.